want you to wish you a great time. I know that on the 20th of December, we're going to have some special music here, and it'll be a great Christmas time. I really like Christmas. I do. I like my favorite time of the year is really the resurrection time and Easter. But in Christmas time, I enjoy the lights. I enjoy the music that glorifies our King. And I like it to be more than just one day and then move on. We've set up some lights at our house, and it's kind of nice, kind of festive. In Matthew chapter 6, I want you to find that. I want to start with verse 33. This message will be a two-part. I won't be able to finish it all this first time. But in Matthew 6, verse 33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." The kingdom of God and righteousness is this. It's purity of heart. It's being united with God in His holiness in our lives. Being and doing right. His justice, His faithfulness. And everything that we receive in righteousness all comes by faith. But notice it says seek first. There are a lot of things we can seek after. We need to seek first the kingdom of God. I'm calling out to you, church, and those that are listening here, that we finish strong this year. That it's definitely been an up and down year. I remember when the year started, it seemed like January and February were kind of normal. Then after February, things just seemed to change. And it's been changed the rest of the year. My hope and prayer is that this coming year won't be the same, that's for sure. But when we look at seeking the kingdom is established. The kingdom is stable. It's faithful. It's unmovable. And it's an area that we really need to go after. Many are going after this or that or seeking more of the virus than the kingdom. We need to get back to seeking the kingdom. I'm challenging you that you finish strong this year. Strong in your devotion. Strong in your commitment. And even in our passion, I really want our passion to be more towards the Lord and to really show that forth, that He's given us another day on this planet. We should rejoice and be glad in it. But look at verse 33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness," that established relationship that He wants with each one of us. It needs to be top priority when we get up in the morning that we're establishing that relationship. I know the Lord is speaking, but we need to speak to Him. We need to share with Him our heart's desire, our motives of the day. And truthfully, notice it says, "I'll add all these things." When I begin to look at this portion, it's everything the world tries to seek after, God adds to you. And when God adds something to you, there's no sorrow with it. It's easy to be entreated. It benefits your life. And think about it. We'll live forever with Him and have all things. So we lack nothing. We lack no good thing. But notice it's seeking. It's something that the Lord desires of us. The Holy Spirit leads us in that area, but we must yield to it. We must say, "God, I'm going to go after You with all my heart." When I look at others today, more than not, people are running to and fro. They're doing this or that. And many times it's our own thing. But if we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, God adds to our life. And think about it. We have eternal life. Awesome. We got the Holy Spirit. Awesome. We got His word. Awesome. Everything we need has been supplied. The only lack is in me. It's my flesh. When it comes to seeking first, we also need to finish. I started the year off with things that needed to be done. I may recap at the end of the year my beginning message. But we also need to look and say, we need to make things right. There are a lot of things that are unstable today and a lot of relationships that are broken. Let's start to look and restore those things. Let's be the one that leads in that charge. Let's look and say, you know what? I want every relationship. Maybe there's people in your family that don't know the Lord. Consecrate prayer on that. That they turn to those areas. In Matthew 5 verses 21 through 24, talks about restoring to with your brother, making those gifts right, being reconciled to your brother first, then leave your gift at the altar. I think if the church would do this, it'd bring a lot more restoration, that as believers, We need to be the first ones who are sorry, the first ones who repent, the first ones who go after, the first ones to say, hey, even if you're totally right, it doesn't matter. I think that's the way it needs to be, because Jesus went to seek and save that which was lost. He was perfect, yet he became sin for us. And I really believe that we also need to lay down our lives for others. When it comes to our life, we need to be first to deal with our own sins instead of the sins of others. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, it talks about not judging before the time. And many of you know it's take the speck out of your eye, or I'm sorry, a telephone pole out of your eye, that you can take the speck out of your brother's. When we need to deal with it, if we deal with our own sin first, can you imagine that? Could you imagine if this country dealt with its own sin first? Then we would look at people different. As the church, we need to do that first. We need to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. And the Word of God is important. As believers, we've heard this so many times over the years, but it's amazing how the book is not read. Read the Word. Just spend time in it. Ask the teacher, the Holy Spirit, to lead you and show you and bring forth that illumination. And he'll do just that. He's a great instructor. But to find ourselves in that book, most believers haven't even read the Bible through. We need to study that book. We need to spend time in it. It's truly life. And the Bible says it's health to all our flesh. We need to find ourselves in that book. But we also need to deal with us. I want to finish strong this year by being repentive, being cordial to others, being like, Lord, let me be that Christ-like example. And even today, with all that's going on, you can still hold the door for somebody else. Now, they may freak out because you're close to them, but I'd rather them freak out because I care than just slam the door. Next area there, we need to seek first to respond to God's move. Be first to respond to God's move. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 19 through 22, it talks about, Jesus said, follow me. Let the dead bury the dead, but follow me. We need to follow him wherever he goes. This coming year, I'm looking for things to change. There's no doubt about it. But I want to follow the Lord wherever he goes. As it says in Luke 9, verse 61 and 62. I want to follow him, not looking back. Because if you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. And any farmer knows that if you're plowing a field, you got to watch the rows. Otherwise, you get off track, or you might be able to destroy what you've already done. It's finishing that race that's so important. We all start the same, but it's how we finish that race. Let's continue to put our hands to that plow and continue to focus straight ahead, not looking to the left or right. There's too many distractions out there. When it comes to our first, we need to deal with Satan. Be first to bind him. Many times we talk about the kingdom of God. It's in power. Well, we have all authority in Christ. Well, the enemy is still active today. There's no doubt about it. It's the spirit that works in those who are disobedient. So as a church, our weapons are not carnal, but mighty. But notice that they're still active. We still need to bind the enemy, not ignore it or wish him away or even say, well, he doesn't exist. He's there. Today he's out to steal, he's out to kill, and he's out to destroy. And he's working overtime in those areas. And he has many agents out there to do his bidding. But the church needs to arise to bind him. Be first to bind him in those areas. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 24 through 29, talks about binding the strong man. You can't spoil his goods unless you first bind him. Well, we can. We need to spoil those goods. There are so many things that Satan has under his control that he has really no right to have. Well, how about our families? You have no right to take our families. You have no right to take this stuff. You have no right to take our joy. I'm going to bind that spirit of disobedience. In every service that I've ever been at, it's amazing. You can be loving God, serving him, and a vile thought come over your mind. Well, it's what you do with that thought. Truthfully, if you can start to recognize it it shows you have a different nature in you. But when it comes to those thoughts, there are sometimes you just got to battle that out until it dissipates or it's gone. And it can be the most intimate time, and all of a sudden a thought is interjected. Well, I couldn't stop the thought, but you know what? I know I can deal with it. I can take it captive. We take it captive, we can walk free. When I think about Jesus, can you imagine what he was bombarded with when all of hell was on? He said, this is the hour of darkness. Can you imagine how many things he had to deal with? Resisting sin unto blood. Became sin who knew no sin. I thank my Savior. He did all that for me. My sin sent me to hell. Can you imagine dealing with the sins of the whole world? That's how mighty our Savior is. When it comes to dealing with our first, we need to have first to speak peace when it comes to a home. If you're going to visit somebody, speak peace over that area. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verses 12 through 13, talks about when you go to a household and they greet you, speak peace to it. Now, there are times where people don't like to hear the gospel. There are times where people don't care about those things. The Bible says that if they reject you, just let your peace come upon you. Just move on. But truthfully, we need to start bringing a cheer to others, a welcome greeting. And if you're walking this planet and you know the Lord, you become an agent of righteousness. That everything is needed has been supplied right there. You can bring somebody to Christ, share the good news, and it is good news. Let's look to finish strong in leading people to Christ this year. Send out that greeting. Prompt them to, hey, spend time. The time is short. Spend time with the Lord. Bless them in the name of the Lord. We need to be first to greet people, to salute people, as it were, to say, hey, I'm glad you're here, to bring some really what I call true holiday cheer. It's not found in the bottle. It's not found in the gift. It's found in Christ. When Jesus said that, I'll never leave you or forsake you, that's a great gift. And he said this, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe also in God. Believe also in me. My Father says I'm many dwelling places, and I'm going to go to prepare a place for you. He's always thinking about us. Truthfully, Jesus has put us first on this planet. No doubt about it. He went seeking to save that which is lost. Even when it came to his own feelings, his own emotions, his own lifestyle, and all that he did, even his meals, from fasting and prayer, he put us there. He said, Father, I didn't come to do my own will, but your will. And your will is that to rescue these people, to go after them. So I lay down my life. We also need to lay down our lives for one another. But it has to come first. It can't be a secondary notion like, well, I should do this. No, it's time to act. It's time to be those type of people. We need to consider first also the cost for living for God. That many times when people come to know him, it's not easy believism. Just pray, you're okay, go on with your life. Now, when you get your life right with the Lord, what you're saying is now, Jesus, be Lord of my life. That means I'm going to follow this out. I'm going to walk this out. I'm going to live this out. That means you're going to give your life for the Lord. And believe me, it's the greatest life ever. Truthfully, the greatest life ever. But if we put people more important than the Lord, even our own precious family, it's out of order. He has to be number one. We have to consider the cost of living for our God. If we do, then truthfully, that kingdom has begun to work in us and through us. The greatest thing we can ever do is make him Lord. Make him Lord of our life and serve him in that area. When it comes to seeking first the kingdom of God, as it says in Matthew 6:33, we need to give ourselves in that arena. Well, today's the day. Here's the word. Seek first the kingdom. Look at your life and today. I want you to arrange your life that the kingdom of God is first. Now, I know many of you may hear this in the evening, but you can still start your day off seeking first the kingdom. What do you have to do? What do you have to arrange? What do you have to say, you know what? This needs to be adjusted. This needs to change. Because this needs to be a lifestyle. When Jesus said, all these things I'll add, everything that you need will be added to you. But notice it starts by us, seeking first. I'm going to ask you to start looking at your schedule. What does it take to seek him first? maybe get up a little bit earlier or stay a little bit up a little later. I don't know. You'll have to determine that. Maybe on your way to work, you can turn that off and focus in on the Lord. Well, that's part of the kingdom of God. Remember, we're the ones that are the servants. Many times I see heaven's going to be this place filled with people. It's true. But it's the caliber of people that concerns me. It's the quality of life that we have going forth. Because we'll be known as we're known. Let's face it, the thief on the cross that got his life right. Yes, he's in the kingdom of God. Glorious. But he never really had a chance to really live it out, but just those few moments. How about now with us? If the Lord's given us 1 year, 10 years, possibly 100 years, that we've lived it out, that we've walked in that. As a pastor, I really want people to mature in their faith. And when we mature in our faith, the petty things drop off. We're not so consumed with all the little stuff. We're growing in grace. But for me as a pastor, I want people to grow in that caliber of Christ, to have that character within them, to know the principles of the kingdom, because they're going to continue forever. Servanthood will continue forever. And it just can't start when you get to heaven. It must start now. It's got to be part of our life. We'll be known as we're known. When you leave this planet, that's how you are. You'll be ushered in there. Well, if you know very little about the Lord, come on. How many of us, he wants us to know him? Lo, I come in the volume of the book. There's no excuse that will hold out in that area. But when it comes to seeking him, I need to give of myself. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 4 through 5, it implores us to grow in that area, to give ourselves first to the Lord by the will of God. We do that, God has a way. And more than ever, we need to recognize that there's a falling away too. I know Pastor Mark and I have had these conversations that there are many that are falling away today, or a lot of strange things going on out there. We have to come back to the Lord Jesus, put him first, that if we're not seeking him, we can soon be shaken. We can be troubled in our minds, as it says in 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 3, that we start to seek him, that there's a lot of deception going on today. And I've seen great people pick up some strange doctrine and go off in whatever land that is. We need to draw that back to the kingdom, be solid in our faith, solid in the word, so we're not soon shaken or moved out of place. Even by a word by somebody. It can be somebody great, but it doesn't matter. Is it in the word of God? Are we following those things? That Jesus said in the last days there would be a falling away, that the son of man or son of sin would be revealed, the son of perdition. We're close to that now. I really believe that time is short, that we need to start looking for our Savior to return. Not in an escapism, but he said, when you see all these things happen, look up, your redemption's drawing near. Well, more than ever, I can say things are rapidly changing, and they're going to be rapidly changing for this country too. I personally believe that our freedoms are going to be challenged. I really do. Since we're calling good evil and evil good, that will come into the church soon. That persecution will arise. You stand for Christ, it will cost. But consider the cost. Many of our brothers and sisters around this world have suffered for their faith. Many of them have been put to death for their faith. But they've lived on in Christ saying, you know, it doesn't matter, I'm going all out. I'm so glad that I got a copy of Scripture. But there are some people on this planet that there may be one Bible between 30 or 40 people. We should be thankful for what we have, because we're going to be held accountable for what we have. When it comes to seeking, first, we need to remember to pray for others. In 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, it says, I exhort you first of all that supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving thanks be made for all men. Part of seeking first the kingdom of God is putting others up there. If I cover my needs last, it seems like my prayers are more to be answered. I'm seeking him first, then I'm praying for others for their needs, and I become third in the mix. And it's amazing to me that if you remember others' needs, God remembers your needs. But we need to have a consistent time of prayer and not be sporadic with that. Can you imagine if you prayed every day that was just an earnest, consistent, like Daniel did? I believe that your prayers would be more answered at a rapid rate by continually holding it up before the king. There are times that we prayed, then we've waited weeks and prayed again, and we didn't see anything, we prayed again. No, he continued to pray, continued to seek him, continued to offer those things. If you'll do, truthfully, more blessing will come, and more fruitfulness will be there. When I look more today than ever, God's proving ministries today. He's proving people's hearts. He's proven pastors' hearts. Will you be faithful to the calling? More than ever today, there are a lot of people that are leaving the ministry. Well, the truth is that God's trying every area today. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. If you look at this country, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. What's most important? Is it sports? Is it money? What's the most important thing that we need to go after? My only concern is that even during this pandemic, I really haven't seen a real move towards the King of Kings. Sometimes I wonder what it's going to take for mankind to bend their knee and follow the Lord. But as the church, we need to lead the way. No matter what's going on today, we need to lead the way in faithfulness, in passion, in seeking after him, and also reaching people. This pandemic should not keep us from reaching the lost, because hell is forever and somebody is going to end up there if we don't do our job. There's no doubt about it. Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Well, that seems like a pretty big weight. It is, but we have the Holy Spirit with us to help us. We still need to reach people. We still need to go after them and tell them the good news so they can be changed. I don't want this pandemic to silence the church, to silence our witness, because what would be that? Can you imagine standing before the king? Oh, you had a virus in the land, but you couldn't tell somebody about me? I mean, that just won't cut it. When Jesus risked his life, gave of his life, so we could reach the lost, let's be about our Father's business. And as we look today, we also need to care for those that maybe had a situation, maybe a widow or widower, maybe somebody has lost a loved one. We need to be first to respond in that area. I know here at Lighthouse that we've had several funerals over these last few months. And it's so important that we go after those and reach them. To put that as a first priority, as it says in 1 Timothy 5:1-5, that we care for those and those that are aged in our congregations, that we show the proper respect and really, really go after and say, hey, I'm glad you're here. What do you need? Because that's showing that Christ is in us, that we're preferring others better than ourselves and really honoring the widows that are in our midst. It seems like ladies seem to live a little bit longer than the men, so I've met more widows out there. But the truth is that no matter what stage of life, we need to put them first in the church. We need to be mindful of those. And maybe you know somebody that has lost someone. Give them a call. Just bless them somehow. Encourage them. It'll make their day. And as I close here today, we need to remember, as we put first the kingdom, that judgment begins in the house of God. In 1 Peter 4:17-18, it says, "Its time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God. And if it begins here first," it does say first, "then what will the end of those who obey not the gospel?" First, let it happen here. Let's start looking at the kingdom of God saying, Lord, here we are. Now, no one likes to be judged, but judgment needs to start in the house. That means we're judging ourselves in that arena. We're letting the Holy Spirit bring the conviction that we need and change. And if we do, as it says in Revelation 1:2-3, that the world will have to take notice. That when the church gets it right, what about the world that obeys not the gospel? Well, you can read that in the book of Revelation from chapter 4 on. That this is coming upon the earth. That one day God's going to bring this earth back under subjection to him. And there's going to be cataclysmic events that will take place, such as the world has never seen or will ever see again. But now we're in the church age. It's time for us to arise. It's time for us to seek first the kingdom again. Next week, I'm going to finish this portion of the message. The truth is that let's start it now. Let's take this week every day and start to put him first. And if you have a testimony, maybe that something the Lord has done, maybe something has challenged you, just drop a note there. You can put it online there and speak a word of encouragement. Others can read that and be encouraged. Truthfully, I want to see God do more than ever. I'm looking for a year of refreshing coming up soon. But whatever happens this coming year, I'm going to serve him. I've dedicated myself to that, and I know you have as well. Let's continue to put him first in his righteousness, and we'll see the great things God has. As we close in prayer, I want to say God bless you, and you have a great week. Father, bless those, Lord, to hear this message. Lord, encouragement today. Then, Lord, you said in Matthew to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and all these things will be added. Lord, we're going to make you first again. We declare, Lord, we're going to finish this year strong to follow after you in Jesus' name. Well, God bless you. Thank you for your time this morning. Have a great week.